Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2437 with the release date of Friday, July 12, 2024 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hurricane Beryl makes landfall in the U.S. and hams are ready. Ham Club members in India came to the aid of victims of youth violence and AMSAT Argentina needs satellite enthusiasts' help. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2437 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
For the second week in a row, our top story is Hurricane Beryl, the powerful and destructive storm that raged in the Caribbean and parts of the southern U.S. states. Hams continue to play a role in emergency communications. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us what was involved.
Hurricane Beryl, the second named storm for this year in the Atlantic, is now only a remnant of a storm. But its eight-day impact left a wake of destruction and deaths with three different landfalls. Often, when a storm finally settles over a large landmass, most of the population relaxes, thinking the worst is over. After Beryl landed on the Texas coast near Matagorda as a Category 1 storm, it still created havoc, especially in the city of Houston, Texas, where over 2 million homes and businesses were left without power for more than a day. Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, net manager of the Hurricane WatchNet, told AR Newsline that just because a hurricane finally arrives at a large landmass, that does not mean that we can drop our guard. He went on to say, quote, "Tropical systems can cause major inland flooding and spin up tornadoes. Remember, Hurricane Ivan in 2004 was responsible for nearly 130 tornadoes from Florida to Pennsylvania," end quote. Graves told participants in the net that they were still needed as reporting stations, providing real-time data to the National Hurricane Center. Covering Hurricane Beryl also included other challenges for the net team, including problems with solar activity throughout the event, which impacted the ability to communicate. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Sometimes using your amateur radio contacts and connections, even without picking up a radio, can prove life-saving. That's what happened recently when hams in India were able to help Bengali authorities in a situation involving youth-on-youth violence. We hear more from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
As the Bengali government struggles with a reported regional rise in violence by youth mobs against other young people, a group of ham radio operators was able to intercede in what local media described as one such case. On July 4th, the website for the Statesman newspaper said a young man was accosted by a group of youths in front of the Indian Institute of Technology in Kharagpur. As the assailants set upon him, accusing him of having stolen a mobile phone, two members of the West Bengal Radio Club were passing by. The two club members, who were shortwave listeners studying for their ham license, sent other club members photographs of the assailants and their victims via their mobile phones. The club secretary, Ambrush Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, said the photos were distributed to radio operators throughout the region using the WhatsApp mobile phone application. The young victim was soon identified by his brother in another town. He said his brother was suffering from psychological difficulties and had disappeared from home a few days earlier. Police were called to the scene and rescued the young man. According to the news report, police determined that he had stolen nothing and could be returned to his family the next day. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Hams in Brazil are marking their Amateur Radio League's 90th anniversary by inviting the world to join the party. We have more details from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Reaching the age of 90 is no small achievement. Hams in the Liga de Amadores Brasileiros de Rádio Emissão, or LABRA, perhaps know that better than anyone, as their amateur radio organisation, the oldest in Brazil, marks its 90th anniversary. The hams are launching a special contest to mark the occasion. The Labrou contest will be held on the 20th and 21st of July, and hams around the world are being invited to contact their counterparts in Brazil using SSB and CW. Organisers are hoping that contacts will be made on all the eligible bands and are encouraging participants to use as many of the bands as possible. The League wrote in translation on the contest website that they hope this activity will become, quote, a landmark in international amateur radio competitions, close quotes. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Student-built satellites from Arizona and Maine were among those sent into space aboard a privately owned rocket recently in California. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, explains what their missions are.
2 days after its scheduled launch was scrubbed, a student-built satellite lifted off from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California, lighting up the night sky on the 3rd of July. Built by engineering students at the University of Arizona, the CatSat was launched on a privately owned rocket of Firefly Aerospace. The satellite's mission is to collect space weather data every 95 minutes while in low Earth orbit for the next 6 months. CatSat will be transmitting at high speeds with a state-of-the-art radio from Rincon Research Corporation and an inflatable antenna from Freefall Aerospace. Firefly Aerospace describes the antenna as making use of a mylar balloon with a transparent front half that permits the pass-through of microwaves and an aluminized back half that is reflective. The CatSat was one of 8 CubeSats developed as part of NASA's CubeSat launch initiative. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
The launch also carried the first CubeSat from the state of Maine into space, known as MESAT-1. It was created with support from NASA's CubeSat Launch Initiative and the Maine Space Grant Consortium. It has 3 imaging experiments aboard, designed by schools, and a 2-way amateur radio transponder. If you found yourself logging as many contacts as possible with YL's on Soda Summits during the weekend of June 1st and 2nd, it's time to receive your certificates. The inaugural Queens of the Mountains event featured a team of YL's in the U.S., using one-by-one special event calls. The activators themselves were busy chasing summit-to-summit contacts, and YLs who were joining them in the activation by operating from DX Summits. The organizers Amy, AG7GP, and Paula, K9IR, plan to make this an annual event in the hope of inspiring other YLs to get involved in SOTA. For details on how to get your certificate, follow the link to the SOTA reflector that appears in the text version of this week's Newsline newscast. In Connecticut, a popular radio and communications museum run by volunteers is facing the unexpected expense of having to help pay for the installation of a public sewer line. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, reports on this big, expensive concern.
A volunteer-run museum that has been devoted to the history of radio and communications since its earliest days in 1990 is facing a new challenge. This time, however, the Vintage Radio and Communication Museum of Connecticut isn't trying to acquire anything for its exhibits or to preserve any particular old-time communications equipment in its collection. The museum is facing a bill of more than $28,000 as one of 5 property owners affected by the installation of a sewer line along the road where its building is in Windsor, Connecticut. Director John Ellsworth writes on the museum's website, quote, "As an all-volunteer-run museum, we do not have those funds on hand, nor did we expect this expense to occur so quickly," end quote. The project is taking place over the summer. The museum has begun seeking donations from its friends and supporters. The club's collection of vintage radio, TV, and computer technology includes its own amateur radio club, W1VCM. The station is there to educate the public about ham radio and serve as an active exhibit for club members and guests who are licensed radio operators. The club's page on QRZ.com and the museum's website at VRCMCT.org have more details. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including D-Star Reflector 91C at 7:30 p.m. Melbourne, Australian time on Wednesdays, or at 0930 UTC following a short net with VK3JS. Between an eclipse in the spring and then flares and storms a few weeks ago, the sun has been getting a lot of attention lately. Now it's the moon's turn, and Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us how the moon is getting its day, at least in Texas.
The Frontiers of Flight Museum in Dallas is once again marking Moon Day on the 20th of July, a date to celebrate the anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission's landing on the moon. According to the schedule of events, the moon will have its day in the sun at last through a variety of presentations. The Dallas Amateur Radio Club will show how hams communicate via EME or moon bounce, and AMSAT ambassadors will be present to demonstrate what radio communication is like through amateur satellites. The keynote speaker will be former NASA astronaut Gregory Johnson, whose experience piloting early space shuttle flights contributed toward the construction of the International Space Station. The six-hour program is considered the year's largest space-related event in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Argentina is looking for some help from the amateur radio community in answering this question. Is its LUSAT microsatellite dead or alive? John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us how you can help.
Launched in January of 1990, the amateur radio microsatellite known as LO19 outlived its expected lifespan. Even in recent years, an unmodulated carrier signal could still be heard coming from the LUSAT in its sun-synchronous orbit. According to a report in AMSAT News, Gustavo LW2DTZ declared the microsatellite to be dead after several observers told him recently that they were no longer able to detect the CW carrier. All that changed on the 1st of July. The signal was reportedly picked up on that day by Nico PA0DLO, who reported that his strength was noticeably weaker, suggesting a failure had occurred in its onboard power amplifier. AMSAT Argentina is hoping to learn more and has asked hams with well-equipped ground stations to continue to listen for LO19 and report what they hear, if anything. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, listen for the Deep Blue DX team using the call sign J48FT from Tenos Island, IOTA number EU067. Between the 26th of July and the 9th of August. The team will also take part in the IOTA contest on the 27th and 28th of July. QSL cards will not be available. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Fabio, PY4YY, Marcio, PU4MDO, and Cardosa, PU2LJH, will be on the air as PV2IC from Elha Daskova, IOTA number SA071, during the IOTA contest weekend. Listen for them using SSB and FT8 on 80 to 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Tom, OE4EIE, is on the air to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Rhein-Ruhr DX Association. He is using the call sign OE4RRDXA through the end of September. There are no paper QSL cards. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Yaroslav R1BET and Mike R1MJ will be calling CQ as RI1K from Bulushai, Zhushmai Island. IOTA number EU147 from the 20th through the 28th of July. QSL via R1BET. For other details, see QRZ.com. If you spend a bit of time on 6 meters or even 2 meters, the next few weeks should bring you the promise of good things, courtesy of some meteor showers, specifically from the Comet Swift Tuttle. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us what's going on.
They're called the Perseids meteor showers, and this year they are dusting the skies with tiny particles, ionizing the E layer of the ionosphere starting in mid-July. That means sometime between July 17th and the 24th of August, you may reap the benefits of meteor scatter. Many hams consider this the biggest moment of the year for meteor scatter, bringing the possibility of VHF contacts that can extend as far as 2,000 kilometers or not quite 1,250 miles for those setting their alarm clocks to rise before dawn. The peak dates for these contacts will come on the 12th and 13th of August. According to the website space.com, this phenomena, enjoyed by so many amateur radio operators, is the legacy of the comet Swift-Tuttle, which has not been close to Earth since 1992. Our planet, however, passes through the debris the comet left behind, and the result are these lively meteor showers. Although there are lots of fans of astrophotography who enjoy capturing brilliant images, we amateurs hope, of course, that all that debris may help us put together some interesting QSOs. This is Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, airnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Weekly, AMSAT Argentina, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, DX World, 425, DX News, KVOA News for Tucson, Labre, Mainsat.org, QRZ.com, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space.com, The Statesman, The Soda Reflector, University of Arizona, Vintage Radio and Communication Museum, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.